Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes.
And I'm Kevin Graham.
And I am delighted to say that today we are joined by average Joe Miller of Not The View fame. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I've been wanting to speak to you on this podcast for a long time because I was an avid reader of Not The View back in the day.
I'm still a reader.
Kevin still is an avid reader. It was groundbreaking. It really was groundbreaking. Take us back to those days, Joe. What made you get involved in this thing that at that time was a burgeoning scene?
Well, basically what happened is just strolling up the Gallagher, swinging a chain kind of thing. As it all is, and going to Celtic Park and I seen this magazine. I wasn't involved in the first two issues. I seen this fanzine and I went, picked it up, what's this? Got in touch with them straight away. I went, this is my mind in here, you know? And then turns out we're drinking the horseshoe together. Met with Jerry Dunbar's the guy. He's the genius behind it. And George Shanks. They were the two guys. George of the Jungle, as he's known as. And I got in tow with these guys right away. And we just hit it off. And we were going through dire times at Celtic, as you know. And the fanzine scene was like private eye, punk scene. We all had the same kind of background. And kind of, maybe not so much George, but Jerry and I in punk music and stuff like that. So fanzines like Sniffing Glue, and this was all our kind of inspiration, and we just thought something had to be done here. Like-minded people, got a few other guys got in tow as well, and we just thought we need to do something. This is our club, we need to try and get other people on board, and that was the forum to do it. Mm-hmm. Was selling fanzines and putting it out there. So that was the basic background to it. You know, it came off the back of last game of the season. We won nothing. St Johnstone beat us the last game of the season. You're trudging back down to the pubs and going, where are we going? You know, and it was dire times, you know. You look at the time when you're living through it, you don't actually think how close we were to all these things, you know, and how or where it was going to go. But you knew you had to do something. That was basically it.
And this was the roots. This was the roots of what came after. What eventually happened in 94 was, you were able to get a group of people together, a small group of people, and then you're spreading the word to a larger group. And there was a fan movement. What interests me, reading back the first few editions, was you were before your time in terms of your thought process. You were talking about, this club needs to go public. A lot of guys who are going to games weren't thinking like that, Joe, but when you look at it now, you think, wow, they were telling us what we should have been doing 7 years before it happened.
Yeah, certainly, but there also was a hardcore against us, you know. Now, guys, we all took turns, and there was loads of sellers. We were trying to put it out to everybody, and some of the abuse we were getting was unbelievable, you know. And as well, and you look at the Celtic View, and they were putting out letters, and you're doing a grand job, boys, and up the Celts, and you're just going, well, there was a bit of friction as well, but I think the majority of people knew something had to change, and yet, being part of the club, the totals were always part of the club, but we're only part of the club standing in the terrace and paying more money. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything involved in being part of a sharehold or whatever. So, and a family destiny is what we had, and we knew that had to change as well, you know. They didn't see it coming. They would have ran us right into the ground and still wouldn't have seen or done anything to change it.
What was the editorial meetings, if you said editorial meetings in the Horseshoe Bar, what were they like when you were planning the issues?
The early days was basically just like any other punters, you guys. You'd go with your mates, you'd go back to the pub, you'd talk about the game, you'd talk about maybe the upcoming game, you'd talk about everything else round about it, just life in general, and a couple of wee laughs and laughing about the Huns and all that and everything that was going on, any other team that we were up against. That was when we just done it like that. That's basically how it was done. And we'd go away, and then the next issue, but with all these thoughts and all the rest. And then Jerry and I tried to kind of break it down a wee bit, and the two of us got together and tried to do like Tuesday night meetings. And we used to always meet in the pubs in the town, and we used to get slaughtered. And the following day, we'd actually phone each other and go, what did we talk about last night?
What did we decide?
What did we agree? We were going, I had a bag full of stuff, and I'm going, I don't know what I was meant to do with this, Jerry. And he's going, I can't remember either. So we had to cut out meetings in pubs. Genuinely had to stop it. It was just getting ridiculous. So that kind of side is the humour side as well, is which we always kept in the fanzine. And we always kept it looking like a fanzine as well. Mm. We had the colour late on, but we always kind of, that's the way we wanted. We wanted to be street, we wanted to be fans, and we wanted that kind of dirty kind of look about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a fanzine
should be. Which you still got. Yeah. There's some of them are now glossy and upmarket, whereas not the view still looks like the ones I used to buy.
Yeah. I think if we changed, I think a lot of people would have maybe not have come down on us a bit, but new fanzines starting, I'm fine with that. That's the way, because they're just coming in, that's the way they are. But if not the view was to change into like a programme, that's what we were always trying to avoid. We weren't a programme, we weren't the Celtic View, we were not. So we always tried to keep it that kind of street kind of thing. And so a normal guy in the boozer would read it and go, aye, that's kind of me, you know. So
When I think back, there was brilliant self-deprecating humour, right? And obviously we were always poking fun at the Huns. There was actually a cartoon called The Huns, remember, with the Terry Hurlock hair and all that.
Terry Hurlock.
And I mean, terribly contrived photos of the stars kind of thing, great Celtic haircuts of our time. Who was coming up with this, Joe?
Oh, Dunbar's a genius, man. He's an absolute genius. But again, that's the stuff that's just talked about over the bar, in the pub, you know. And you'll probably date yourselves when you go back after a game and somebody will crack a joke about something. And we'd go, like Andy Murdoch, who joined us as well, he remembers everything. Now, Jerry, myself and all that, we're forgetful. You know, we really are forgetful with things. But Andy's he's a stato, he remembers everything you say. And we'll turn around and say, I remember that issue. And Andy will go, no, that was that one. You know, and right, okay. And so he remembers all this stuff as well. And so if we cracked a joke about, he was embarrassing the Hoops today. Now, that's how that came about. Who embarrassed the Hoops? Aye. You know, and then all that came in. So
he's got a lot of stick for that column, eh?
Of course we did, aye.
But then I also, it's tongue-in-cheek.
I totally was tongue-in-cheek.
I didn't take it serious. Aye. It was always
there was one, Wally Gardner, and somebody wrote in and says, or somebody wrote a letter saying, I'm related to him or something like that. Wait a minute, it was just a laugh.
He scored two own goals in his first game, he's going to get stuck.
And, you know, you're just going, well, come on, it's a bit of tongue-in-cheek. You know, we supported the guys when they played, even though they were crap. Mm-hmm. You know, or just Frank Monroe and all that, you know. Aye. I remember him coming in, captain, and Jock made him captain. You're thinking, for Wolves, this guy's quite interesting. Buying OGs as well, and you're going, this guy's a dud. So he was obviously going to get put in it as well. But now, it's like present players are new, you'd think are they up to it. If we had embarrassed the Hoots, we could do it. But people would go absolutely mental if we'd done it the new. I'd still go out and support it. Everybody's got players they like and dislike as well, who they rate. But see, once they play, I support them. Mm-hmm. Even the ones I don't like, I don't rate. There's a lot of people can't see the difference, you know.
Everything's black and white, but that's a lot to do with social media now.
Could you not just do a special for Marvin Compere? Because I actually played more minutes than he did at Celtic Park last season. You've got to do just a special way, embarrass
he's
the Hoops.
Brought, see when he was going to win with the trophy and all.
Oh, you're John Terry.
I thought, not a brass neck given, man. Absolutely brilliant.
When we were at the cup final last season, the one against Motherwell, mm-hmm. he was in the lounge right. that we were in. Aye. And I'm going, I need to go and get a picture took with him. I need to go up to him and go, Marvin, can I get a picture with you? But I never had the guts to do it.
But again, when you talk about modern day stuff, that's just modern day football players. Don't give a jot.
There's hundreds of Marvin Compers up and down the country.
All over.
And you need to kind of look at his side of it. He's getting decent money. Mm-hmm. Probably loving life the way he likes it. He's enjoying it. Personally, you go, I'd play football any day of the week, you know, but mm-hmm. a lot of football players are happy just taking a wage and not bothering their arse about having to go out and play football.
I remember talking to an ex-Celtic captain and really being taken aback when he told us, it's a job. I'm going, what do you mean it's a job? He went, it's a job. He says, it's been my job since I've been 16. He says, I really don't have any emotional attachment to playing football.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wait a minute, I didn't see it like that.
Well, our kind of era growing up was, if you're a football player, have a job behind you. Mm-hmm. You know, Jim Craig, a dentist and all that, and you look maybe at the rest of the Lions, for example, mm-hmm. it's pub trade and all that. They'd maybe buy a pub or something. That was all they could get out of it, you know, in a way. But modern day players now, and do they need anything outside it? No, the money they get, if they're careful enough, they don't need to do anything, you know, and The money is quite obscene, to be honest. Definitely, you know, it is obscene. Definitely. You know, it's whole football, modern football is quite obscene, to be honest.
Even the money young laddies get now at 16 when they're in the academy system, more down in England than up in here. Yeah. If they're tossed out of the game by the time they're 21, they've got money, and it's no wonder you hear all these tales of young guys getting lost as soon as they leave football.
And they lose themselves out the game because of money. Yeah. They get it too early and all. And we all know guys that, he could have been a player and all that. And some players, young players, lose it through injury or whatever, or just maybe no breakthrough or whatever. But there's players just losing it because they had money too early. And that's quite sad.
Yeah, the hunger. Hunger goes, doesn't it?
The young boy went down to Farouz. We were talking about him the other week as well. And is he now? Can he get a game with Hibs?
Can he get a club? See the thing as well, Joe, when we talk about not the view, the impact of that, and then we talk about it in terms of the various fan movements that came thereafter. We were talking to Jim Orr last year a fair bit, and when you read back the Save Ourselves stuff, you know, not the view covered it extensively. He even printed his final letter when they decided to, you know, disband the group and all this kind of thing. There's highlights and low points. One of the things I always remember is the Jockstein bust. What can you remember about that? I mean, that was actually really difficult for you to get into Celtic Park with that, wasn't it?
Well, they refused. Totally refused. We got involved with Save Ourselves and all that, and then Celts for Change. Now, we always publicised it, and now when they made a committee and all the rest, we were always at the meetings and supporting them and all that, but we thought that that's their legs, let them do it. That has to go that way. So we supported it all the way. But the likes of the bust, Celtic, it's an absolute cracker. Every time I see it still, my heart flutters, man, you know. And Celtic didn't want it. We were the malcontents, you know, and didn't want it. So
such a great name, that.
Is there a band called that yet? Should be,
aye. And we put it in the People's Palace, and Sean Fallon came along and unveiled it, and it was a great day. And we thought, that's fitting. People's Palace for Jockstein. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Used to always take my nephews and all that was born up at People's Palace and go, there's Jockstein's bust and all that. And then when it finally went into Celtic Park, when Fergus came back, they asked us up, and they done a presentation, and we put George of the Jungle out in the middle of the park, and Jerry and I were up in one of these boxes, pissing ourselves laughing, drinking away. George was out there without his bonnet, and that was just brilliant to see it coming home, you know, where it should be. And it is pride of place when you walk into Celtic Park. It's there. We're actually just getting involved just now to change the wee plaque on it, because it was done, the plaque was put on very hastily. It doesn't really say much on it, but so I've been in touch with Celtic so we can get it back in a proper plaque saying, because it doesn't even say Not the View on it. I know it was fans that done it, you know, but it was Not the View subscriptions that actually paid for it. So, and that's where all our money went. People used to always say, you must be loaded, but the money all went straight back into a Bartel. I mean
the Tuesday night meetings.
It was all done. You know, things like that, that bust, you know, it's God, when we're gone, and hopefully that's still at Celtic Park, we're going to change the plaque so it represents a wee bit more what Not the View done and the subscribers to get a wee bit of recognition. So
Not the View, they were also, he's weren't scared to tackle some social issues as well, especially racism. One incident when Mark Walters signed for Rangers and the Celtic support, some factions of the Celtic support didn't give him what we would call a Celtic welcome. Was that an easy issue to tackle?
It was, in a way, because, but there's loads of political issues we could talk about now in our kind of group, as you call it. We don't actually have a group as anything, but there is a hardcore of us. Now, we all have different political beliefs and...
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
We all believe in different ways of supporting Celtic. Now, I'm personally, I'm right into the political side of it all, and I enjoy all that, and some of the guys just want to go and see Celtic, and I get that, you know, and they get me as well, and we have still have discussions about it. The thing, that there was fanzines already talking about the political side in Ireland with Chucky Allar and all the rest of it, and I used to read that, and they had their audience for that, but Not the View was more about the football, a bit of fun, slagging the SFA, the referees, Masonic conspiracy, you know, you know what we were. And when the racism thing came about, we didn't even really discuss it, we just done it. You know, we thought, aye, well, it's our fans doing it, you know. This is something we'll talk about, you know. We've had accusations before saying, well, why are you bringing that subject up but not that one? You know, but as I said, there was other fanzines covering the Irish question and everything about it, so why would we get involved and try and do something else that it was already been done? And we thought, well, these guys are doing it the way they want to do it.
I remember reading the issue when you brought it up, and for a younger guy, I would have been about 12, 13 at the time, who never really experienced any racist behaviour, but to see it and go, I think that's wrong. But then you've got older guys who you did go to the football with, who were brung up in the 60s and the 70s, making monkey noise and that on the supporters bus, going to the game. And I'm reading Not the View going, no, I agree with these guys, this is no right. And I think there was an influence of the younger generation with buying your fanzine to bring those issues, and especially Mark Walters issue. Anyway.
Definitely, it had to be addressed. It's like I see now, we go to see Celtic for the football. Now that's the main thing, but there is a certain education you can get going to football.
Definitely.
You know, and I see it through the Green Brigade just now, and whether you like or dislike, but look at the Palestinian thing. You know, that went worldwide. You know, and I can touch on that later when I went over to see Celtic playing the Champions League over there. But it is a kind of education for you going to a football match. It used to be like, I got it when I was younger in the 70s. And
I got it going in the supporters bus.
In the supporters bus. And I remember even as well songs getting sung. Now, we need to talk about things like this. Was I'd rather be a darky than a hun. Used to be a song, well sung, and nobody ever questioned it back then. And yeah, it was a kind of cultural thing, but it also said what it said, you know. And there was even other ones, I'd rather wear a turban than a sash. So we can't hide away from these things, you know, and we should talk about them, you know, because it's the only way to go over them. And funny enough, we didn't talk about racism. Just at the, I was talking to somebody on Twitter, and he reminded me how I pulled somebody up about racism at Dens Park. And I says, well, and it was about 15 years ago, and I said, well, funny enough, I've just done it recently at Aberdeen when we won a league, clinched the league. A guy shouted something, and I was actually myself at the game. You know, I've got pals, but I was myself at the game. My mate couldn't come up, who travels to the away games with us, so I just drove up myself, and this guy shouted something. I immediately, without thinking, pulled him up, and luckily enough, troops were in about me, all done the same. The guy bolted double quick time, but I'm just like, we're still going at it, you know, and it will never go away because we, everybody thinks a typical Celtic fan is that, but we're got racist.
We're a broad church.
Aye, of course, and we've got racist in our support.
We have.
You know, and we can't let them be the voice. If they want to come along, fine, but this is what is and isn't acceptable. Who makes the rules? I don't know, but I know certainly what I think is acceptable and not acceptable, and I'm not having that, you know.
It was important to educate, and I was a wee bit younger than you, Kevin, but from the same kind of era, and you were learning not only about some of these social aspects that you've described there, but it was not the view that was informing me about the issues at the club, the boardroom issues, because if you read Pravda, which was probably you guys that named it Pravda, right, everything was rosy in the garden, right, and we're going to build this fantastic stadium, everything was fine, but you guys were telling us the truth.
Yeah.
Now, when it came to fruition, when the club was on its knees and ready to go into receivership as it was back then, and then obviously it was pulled out of the mire at the last minute. Tell us a wee bit about that, and what did you see for the fanzine to be the future? Because obviously you've set it up as a voice against the board, and the board have toppled. Did you ever think, job done, or was it, no, we can continue with this?
There was discussions about that, you know, and did I think, well, that's it, you know, is everything going to be rosy?
Bus parade in the Gallagher.
Aye, I know, aye. Who'd have thought we'd have done a treble later on? Eh? And we thought, well, no, we shouldn't really let it go. Let's keep going because, aye, we're looking good. We're kind of came out of that. We're not in the grave, you know. We were close, but we weren't in it. So everything's good. Did we just walk away or did we keep checking them? We thought, aye, we'll keep checking them. So we'll keep coming out. Keep going and doing things. And you need to remember in the days as well was, again, talk about social media and all that. We were getting stuff, and when we printed it, that's when you got the news. It wasn't like, like now you could get something and someday in Australia would get the same. I'd send you something, you send it to them and they'd got it within seconds, you know. So when we actually put stuff out, it was there, the rumour mill and all that stuff, you know. We loved that, man, you know. And see, back then as well, a lot of the media gave us stuff because it wasn't the same kind of attitude of what it is like now, you know. It's, they were fishing for information, you know, about obviously going to the Canberra's Lang and playing it at the Hoover Stadium, whatever they were going to call it out there. And so stuff like, we knew right away, just been delving into a wee bit of things, and there were some people on sideways in the media. Now, we were never cosy with them. We were never cosy with anybody at Celtic Park either. They were just still, even the new regime, when they had us in for the presentation and kicked us back out to our seats. But, and that's the way we like it anyway, but
there was never. It should be.
Aye, of course it's the way it should be. And but there wasn't, we all thought, no, we'll keep going because you don't know what's around the corner. We still need to be there. We still need to bring up issues. And if people still buy it and it's still worth it, we'll keep it going, and that's why it's still going.
So in 2019, treble, everything would appear on the outside to be rosy. What are the issues now then, Joe, that you would cover in Not The View? If you look at your manifesto when you first started, we're going to tackle issues that the club aren't doing right. What are the issues now that fans, do you think, should be concerned about?
God, there's loads, aren't there? Where do you start?
Different type of issue entirely
it's
now,
it's totally different now.
Yeah. European Super Leagues.
Aye. Well, again, we go back to modern football. Yeah, just read something about how Juve want to change the whole structure of the Champions League and stuff like that.
And it was them that invented the Champions League.
Yeah, I know. And you're looking at, well, and that's a bigger picture. You're going, well, where are we going to be and all that?
Yeah.
Are we as Celtic as a club and a board pushing ourselves as a voice to be heard? Are we acting like minnows? Obviously, the SFA and with that lot across there, the zombies, you know, you're kind of thinking, are they still letting that go? We're still pushing on that as well. You know, all that stuff. I know there's other stuff that's going on in the background with that. Another thing is going just now that people don't like to talk about, and we don't actually put it in the fanzine, but it is an issue, is the ongoing the Celtic Boys Club thing. You know, our name is getting dragged through the mud with that, and again, that's up to Celtic to be strong. We don't think Celtic's strong media-wise, modern technology-wise, in promoting or challenging things. So that's, and again, that's all stuff that's not even kicking a ball. Mm-hmm. So when you, there's still loads of issues out with actually going to watch Celtic for 90 minutes and playing football. Obviously, the recruitment side of it all, and is Lenny going to be the man, and how did the process go with that? Were they genuinely looking at other candidates? Were they genuinely going to push out the boat? And are they going to get the recruitment right to balance it all up so that we can get good players in? And so there's still loads of issues with Celtic. And as I said, there's two things right away that are a wee bit of football, but loads of things off the field.
Loads of things.
And again, you're justified in keeping the fanzine going, because some of these issues need to be discussed, as you say. They need to be highlighted, because a lot of the time the club won't highlight it. So the question needs to be asked. Mm. One thing that, again, I became obsessed with was the fan ultra movement. And I thought it was an incredible tale how Celtic and Sancta Pauli had this friendship. I remember going to the games and hearing these a small group of guys chanting when we came away for the game, and it was, what is that song? And then starting to explore a wee bit more. Could you tell us how a wee group of Celtic fans got immersed in the culture of this wee harbour part of Hamburg? I mean, were they looking for the Reaper band? Tell the truth.
No, they won the Beatles tour.
No. Aye. To be fun, we had a few links with German boys, Munich, Stuttgart, HSV, believe it or not. Big Rudy, he was one of the top boys in the HSV back in the day, and mad Celtic, you know. And he took Jerry to actually see St. Pauli one time in Hamburg, and there was no friction between these clubs at the time. That's how the gap was so much. But I can't remember what year it was, but we got a Stefan through the fan laden, got in touch saying we're bringing kind of two busloads over, going to Ireland, coming up, and then finishing off coming to Glasgow to see Celtic play Rangers at Celtic Park. Can you help us? So, like, okay, and I think some of the other fanzines got involved as well, but they really got in touch with us. We got everybody together, put them up, and groups of threes and fours and all that, and then it kind of, we got them all tickets, believe it or not, and it wasn't even up to Celtic Park, and goes, got this group coming here, got to get them tickets. It was like, see if you've got a spare ticket, give one. And it was all that, you know, it was really begging that way, because we had no contacts at Celtic Park, none. And so all this squad came out, all these mad German punk squatters looking like punks with our early days, and Jerry and I are going, this is brilliant, man. This is absolutely brilliant. You know, and we just got friendships. The guys that stayed with me, I had four guys staying with me in my flat in the south side at the time, and then I got really friendly with other guys, talking about music. One of my best mates now, Dirk, is lead singer with a band called Slime, massive in Germany, and me and him, we talked to each other since then, you know, still. So they came over as a massive big group, and then friendships were formed. We went over to Hamburg for the first time, and we arranged a football match just beside the Millentor. And I love the name Millentor because my name's in it, you know. And this is home for me. And there was no ultra groups then at the time, obviously, with St. Pauli. And it was just the fan laden was the main focus for all the political stuff and football activism and all that. So we played them at football. They absolutely got us slaughtered the night before. We played them on the following day. They beat us. So we organised a return match, and they came over to Glasgow, and we actually played outside the Ibrox at the complex there.
Complex, yeah.
And that we turned them over because we got them pissed and then beat them the following day. So, and that was basically how it worked, you know. And there was wee groups is all taught about music, politics, football, blah blah blah, and it all came through. And then that, I'm not saying we started the friendship with Celtic because, but that was a start of it. That was a big part of it. In fact, just down the road there, we had a night for them in what's the pub just underneath the Arches? Just behind the Brazen Head is the pub with the Arches.
Sharkies,
that's the one. Aye, and we had the Peat Diggers in playing and all that. We had a night for them. We had even had pipes and everything, you know, and just had a great night for them. And then ever since that, I've been going over to St Pauli. I had a season ticket for many years at St Pauli as well. And basically what I did was I bought a season ticket and I left it with my mates. I went, anybody that can't afford and I'm not there, use it. If they can give me whatever, if they can give me, I'll have beer money when I come over. So I kept that going and then watched how their fan base changed from the fanland, which still goes into this ultra movement and scene, and I just thought it was amazing. Loved it. And then it wasn't us that brought it to Celtic Park, obviously, all the young squad, who was it before, the Jungle Boys, and all that, and groups started forming, and then the Green Brigade got it and just, not saying copied, but it took their slant on it and changed it on. And I just think it's brilliant in modern, good thing in modern football really is the fan culture like that. Britain and the establishment and the authorities just can't get their head around it.
They just can't handle it.
They immediately labelled them as hooligans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As the ones that are causing the trouble, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but I just love what they bring to a game, you know, because it was so stagnant and the crowds at times you were going, you know.
It's great to see youngsters engaged in the same way that we were engaged in the jungle
when we were saying about, you said about being learning stuff on the sports bus, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I would question songs about, oh, what's that song about, you know, and something I never heard before, and you'd ask about it. And then I love the way, like the Green Brigade as well, you see flags and stuff and people. Now we where we sit at Celtic Park, our kids and all that are all growing up and coming in beside us now, and you see them like Nova, and you go, well, that's such and such, they're doing that for that reason, or that's because of. And as I said, it is an education going to this. You know, if you've got 60,000 people in a football stadium, you are going to get something, you know. It's going to, politics wise, whether it's Celtic or you look at the other side to other teams, you know, are getting a lot of right wing Hearts have got a wee bit of problem now with Rock, talking about that Yaxi Lennon guy, you know. Turning up at Hearts and try to get a wee bit of publicity there, and you look at Rangers with, now since I was a boy they had BNP and all that getting sold outside their grounds and all that. So that culture of all that is there for other clubs as well. So you see that in ultras, and I think it's a good thing because, as I say, it's an education for a lot of people to turn around and say why they're doing that and what they're doing it for. But I also get the flip side of guys who say, I don't want that at my game. Because I want to see Celtic and that's what I'm here to see.
Yeah.
I get that. I totally understand it. But they need to understand that's never happened since Celtic started.
No.
He tried to tell me Celtic played that first game of football, the Irish, and, well, it probably would have been all Irish at the game, maybe a few Scots, but you're talking about our forefathers. They weren't talking about home rule and the situation in Ireland or the situation here in Scotland. Of course they bloody were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I get it if they don't want to be interested in it.
I love the creativity and the artists that the Green Brigade bring.
Yeah.
And all the groups, when you look all over Europe on a weekly basis, and social media makes it quite easy for you to see stuff now. You have a look at some of the banners and you go, wow.
Aye.
That, the amount of planning, and it's not just I'm spraying on a bed sheet here.
Yeah.
You look at some of them in Italy, and they've got political connotations. They represent their city, they represent their stuff in the banners, the amount of detail you're talking about. It's like 4 or 5 weeks of work goes into this, and you're like, that's phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
The banners on bed sheets still, what we've done, do the honourable thing, resign to right across in the middle of the jungle at the end of my Celtic games to the Celtic board, and we put it up, and there was guys in the jungle absolutely lifting us up and forcing us and ended up with two cafes and guys were trying to own the park with it, so that was our wee tifo back then, you know? And I'd done that in a bed sheet, I did. But the cup final one, I thought it was amazing. Everybody done it. Nobody moaned about it.
Nah.
I watched people coming in and putting their bibs on.
Aye.
And I just thought, that's so different from maybe 5 years ago, even or 5-8 years ago.
When you
they just came in, done it, and I never seen what the actual tifo was because I was in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the angle I was at, I couldn't see actually what it was. And after the game, we were walking back to the car, my nephew was showing me pictures that were all on social media, which you love now because you get it like that. And I just thought, it was amazing how it changed for into the numbers as well and all that. And just
I think as well, when you watch that game back on the TV, the Celtic ends green and white. That is there, constant.
The whole time.
It kind of disappears halfway during the second half, right enough. I think all the folk started taking them off as started perspiring as when Hearts went 1-0 up. But it still looks...
It looked amazing because it was all the way around and people just did it. It was like when the Green Brigade done their own tricolour one for the whole game, and every time the ball went up, you just try it, and then you're just like, that's genius, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of... I think I kind of see that in a kind of fanzine when we done the red card kind of thing, you
definitely
know. It's a modern day equivalent of doing something that's going to catch the eye and the imagination of everybody. So there's kind of links there.
Everybody showed fracture the red card that day.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, Kevin, you mentioned earlier that authority doesn't like people to be organised, and that's why the Green Brigade are lambasted by authority, because they're organised, right? And because if you can organise even just a tifo, but a demonstration, they didn't want that. Now, when we think about us going over to St Pauli playing twice, I believe, once for the centenary, when Paddy McCourt scored a typically amazing goal, we've never had them over here at Celtic Park.
Strange that, isn't it?
It is. Why wouldn't the club embrace that friendship that's been built up via the fans? I mean, if you brought them over for a friendly, can you imagine the carnival atmosphere?
We have actually mentioned it before in the corridors of Celtic Park, and I've always wondered why we play in certain teams pre-season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just must be a money thing with them. They're not interested in, for us as fans, who to actually see coming to Celtic Park to play against. And you just think, well, that's a surefire winner.
I know.
In fact, you see any German team out with HSV and a few others, you know, Hansa Rostock, for example, who is a big enemy of St Pauli, you just think a lot of German clubs, you know, Dortmund, Munich, all these guys would bring, they'd be more attractive for us as fans and for the players to probably play a pre-season.
Well,
St Pauli, exactly, they bring over about 10,000.
Well, you've got the season book freebie, which we've went, why again is this game as a freebie, because nobody will go to it anyway. This year is at Rennes.
Always poorly attended.
These games are always poorly attended. As you say, if you bring across a Dortmund, a St Pauli, even a Feyenoord, you would add thousands on the attendance, and there'll be an interest in the game.
And again, you go back to what we're saying about education at football and learning stuff. You bring St Pauli over here, young kids will be going, why are we playing them?
Yep.
What's this all about?
Right.
You say, these guys are anti-racism, anti-homophobic, women's rights at football, all this stuff. You can just turn around to your nieces and nephews and tell them all about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that sinks into their head. Now, we remember stuff when our kids going to games.
Definitely.
They'll be doing the same, you know, and that'd be a wonderful thing, you know.
Talk about education, the Green Brigade, the Palestinian fundraising efforts, to the point where Roger Waters has got it on a backdrop when he's playing live. Joe, tell us about your thoughts on that, as a final point on the fact that these people are influential in a good way.
I supported it. I know a lot of people didn't. I did, 100%. I actually went to the away match after that, and we were lucky enough to go down to one of the camps. I'll tell you what really happened. We arrived in Tel Aviv. We were a wee bit wary about it, and we got into our digs and we're signing in, and this guy's looking at us, and he's going, are you Celtic? And I went, yeah. He goes, yeah, I seen what you did against Beersheba last week. I said, oh, fuck, here we go. And he went, that was good. I went, yeah, thanks. And just kind of played it like that. I started talking to the guy who worked on it, and he's Israeli Jewish guy, you know. And I've been there before, seen Celtic play Tel Aviv, and but obviously not under the circumstances of what happened at the home game. And the guy was talking away to us, and he's going, yeah, and it's good to highlight it and all the our government shit and all that. And it, right away, I just thought, he's exactly saying what I say about our government here. They don't represent me. That's not me as a UK, because we're under British government. I was like, the Tories don't represent me. And he was saying this, like, saying, these guys don't represent me. There has to be a solution. And the guy was absent, and that was just checking into the hotel. So the guy was brilliant and all that. So made us at ease, and we had a night there, and then we hired a car, drove up to the West Bank. We couldn't get in there. And then we just drove down to Beersheba. And that was a bit scary, because there was a lot of their fans were really up against us, you know, and not so much before the game going to it. We were all right going in, because they were all in early. Typical us, we all had a beer and stowed in just before kickoff. But after the match, there was buses laid on that went back to Tel Aviv, but four of us came out. We were going back to the town centre, and the police wouldn't let us out. They says, no, you're not walking, blah, blah, blah. We'll get you a taxi. It's not safe. So they put us in a taxi, drove round the corner, and the taxi got attacked with Beersheba fans and all that, shouting, come out, you Palestinian lovers, and kicking them out and that. I was like, the taxi, put your foot down, mate, come on. And they were trying to get us, you know, big time. And we got back into the town, and, oh, jeez, lucky escape there. And it turned out the hotel we were in, the team came in, Celtic came in.
Right.
We were sitting at the bar, and every one of them just went straight up to the room. Bar big, near B Tony came in and spoke to us, because he was meeting family beside it, and we're taught about him and that. And I didn't mention anything about Palace and stuff, and you know, he's a football player and he does what he does. But I just thought it was a nice. He came in and spoke to us. Bruni and all the rest of them just went right by us, you know, and I was a bit. You just feel they should have done something. But anyway, the following day, we drove along up into the camps in Bethlehem, up that area, and down near Jerusalem. And that was something else, you know, seeing the wall that separates these people, you know. And our guide was talking to us, and he said to us, we hired this guy, and the guide took us around, and he's saying, all my neighbourhood watched the game last night. And he says, you could hear TVs from everywhere. And he says, we thought you were going to lose, and we so wanted you to win. We've seen what you did at Celtic Park. And this guy was talking about it. It made us feel we're not abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
And see, as soon as he said that, I just thought, everything the Green Brigade done at that game was worth it for him just saying,
aye,
we know we're not abandoned now. Celtic is our team because of that. And I know it's not because of the actual playing stuff and all that, but I just knew for that. He says it gave them something in their heart. It gave them a wee bit of hope that the world isn't ignoring them, and isn't just thinking they're left behind. And I, that was amazing, this guy telling us that. Absolutely
it's
amazing.
Powerful, eh?
I've got goosebumps.
His neighbourhood. He says the neighbourhood. Mm-hmm. He says it was quiet. You could hear TVs, and it was all the match. That's how much interest it took in it because of that first game. I can feel it.
Astonishing.
Honestly, I can feel it going through my legs and up through me, the way that guy's it. And I've still got the guy's number, because I said I'm going to go back and I'm going to meet him and try and get to see him. A lot of people say we shouldn't have been there either for the game. I get that as well. Which, a guy saying, Joe, why are you going out there? I can't believe you're going out of that country and all that. And I says, well, I'll tell you why I'm going out. I want to see what it's like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to experience it for the people who live there. I says, because I don't know. And I says, I'm glad I did, because my eyes were opened seeing that bloody wall which separates them.
You've got to see and listen, don't you?
And what you go through to get from the Tel Aviv into Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable. Honestly, Trump talked about walls and all the rest of it. Anybody talking about wall separating people, try and see that place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it's frightening.
Joe, that really encapsulates the power of Celtic Football Club and the fans
the Celtic fans. So thanks very much for sharing that, and thanks for being on A Celtic State of Mind.
No problem, guys. Very much. Pleasure.
Thank you.
A Celtic State of Mind can be found at axom.net.
Good to go, mate.
When the green light's glowing, we can get a going.
Oh. Can we keep that in?
I've recorded it, so I
it's going in.
Network.